Before I go any further, I'm just going to ask Desiree to come and read the passage in which I want to speak from today. And do you know what? Because we want to be a church that starts and finishes on time, which is 12:30, I won't run over. If I have to continue next week, I will.
The reading this morning is from Numbers 13, and it's actually quite a long reading, so I'll try and read it as well as I can. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And these are their names. And I'm going to miss those ones out. And I'm going to skip straight to verse 16. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or are they fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rohab towards Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. When they came back, they gave a report. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole of the Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And there they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and yeah, it does flow with milk and honey, and here is its fruits. But the people who live there, they're very powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live with the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live along the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those that live in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there." The Nephilim were giants. They were huge people. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Do you want me to go on? Yeah. "That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is this Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. And they said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'
but the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites, and the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they." Moses said to the Lord, "But then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They have already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people, and that you, O Lord, have been seen face to face, that your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you had put these people to death all at one time, the nations who have heard this report about you will say, 'The Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised them on oath, so he slaughtered them in the desert.'" Moses went on, "Now may the Lord's strength be displayed, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of this people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now." The Lord replied, "I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it."
Thank you. That's a sermon in itself, because Caleb had a different spirit. And to follow on from what I was speaking about last week, you know, we also have a different spirit. I just want to bless Cheryl at this moment in time, and she'll know what I mean when I just made some notes during worship. And you know, there's two things that scare me in church. One is the sound of my own singing, and the other one is when somebody says, "Let's hold hands." That scares me. And I will tell you now, as a minister, as a pastor, you won't hear me say, "Let's hold hands." But the reason it's going to be a blessing is this, because this is what the Lord has said to me today. When we call upon the Lord individually, we become a blessing. We become an individual blessing. But when we are joined together, when we hold hands, when we are joined together, we become one. And the Bible says that when we become one, nothing will be withheld from us. And when we become one, we become a mighty blessing, a corporate blessing. So we won't hold hands next week, but it was in line with what God is going to say. Okay, do you know what? It's okay to smile in church. We need to let go of some things, and we need to grasp hold of others. You know, who we are and what we become will be determined by our attitudes. You have heard me speak over the weeks and maybe months. Our attitude is determined by our fixed point of reference, because what we see and what we digest determines our attitude. So our attitude changes depending on what we receive or what we see. So if we make the Bible our fixed point of reference, our attitude will be changed. Our minds will be renewed by the washing of the word, is what Scripture tells us. So who we are and what we are to become is determined by our attitudes. So it's for us to change our attitude by reading God's word, by meditating on what he has, by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth that he is Lord. Our attitudes will be changed, and we'll be able to see clearly what God is saying to us. Some of what I have to say today is on the back of the scriptures that have been read from Desiree. It's Numbers 13 to 14 is what we heard. You know, I would like to see the supernatural as part of natural, of what we do in our lives. But in order to receive, we need to give. In order to give, we need to receive. If we haven't got it, we can't give it. And when it comes to our finances, if we want to give into missions, if we want to give into the support of what God is doing within this church, if we want to give into the life of Ebony, then we have to have it in order to give it. You know, Peter, as he was going towards the temple, he saw the man begging for alms. And as he put his hand out, Peter looked and he said, "Silver and gold have I not, but what I have, I give to you." And he pulled him up. You have to have it in order to give it. So we need to receive from God before we can give of God. We need to receive from the Spirit of life before we can give life. We need to be in the river before we can swim. As we receive from the Spirit of God, we are blessed. When we receive corporately, when we come together corporately, we become a blessing. The Bible says that one Spirit-filled Christian, one person who believes in the promises of God, one person who says yes and amen, one person can put 1,000 to flight. 2, 10,000. It doesn't mean one add one, it means one fused together with one. It's like if you look at the picture of two cables and they're fused together with the solder, those two become one. That's what the scripture is talking about. One on its own, one of us with God on our side can put 1,000 to flight. 2, 10,000. How many? 3, 100,000? Do the maths. How many? 100. We're talking millions. Listen, when we come together corporately as one body, there's a corporate blessing. When we are as individuals, there's an individual blessing, still multiplied to set 1,000 to flight. And when we fuse together, when we actually get it, when we come together as one, not just one beside one, not one person saying, I'm a Christian, you become two Christians. I'm talking about when you become one, although you're two. Become synergy. One and one becomes three. But in this scripture, one becomes thousands, two becomes tens of thousands, three becomes hundreds of thousands, hundreds becomes millions. You know, if we can grasp hold of what God is saying to us and what he is prepared to do through us, then we can go forward in the fullness of what God has. In order to receive that fullness of what God has for us, we need to settle some things in our hearts. This is some things that we need to lay aside. I was speaking to somebody today, and the picture that I had was of an arm full of boxes. And to grab hold of something else, you need to let go of some things. And for us, maybe we need to let go of some things so that we can grasp hold of some other things. The first thing we need to choose, and I think that's the key word for us because it's choices, we need to choose not to look back. Like the Israelites, they were going forward into the promises of God, but they looked back. They started to grumble, they started to moan, and all they could see was what they thought they had, although what they thought they had, they never had, but it seemed good in their eyes. So maybe for us, we need to settle in our hearts that we are not going to look back. Last week I gave the picture of what I felt it was to look back. To look back is like standing in a pool that doesn't move. And eventually that pool will become stagnant. And eventually that pool will stink. And eventually that pool will suffocate you. And eventually that pool will be the ruin of you and you will die. And the picture I gave when we look forward is this. We get into the river of life that streams with life. It washes us. It cleanses us. It actually, the momentum of the stream pushes us forward. So we need to settle in our hearts that we're not going to be a people that will look back. You know, I've shared this with some people in home group, but when I was about 14, I had a great respect for my mum. My father had died when I was 11, and my mum had brought us up. And I had a love and respect for her. And she never put many boundaries on me. But one of the boundaries she put on was this. I want to know where you are and when you're going to be home. And this particular night, I was going to a disco in Gaywood. And it finished at 10. I said, "Mum, I'll be home by 10:30. And I knew that she went to bed about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And she wouldn't sleep and rest until I was in the house. And I know it's going to be hard to believe, but I got talking. I got talking and I looked at my watch. And it said 10:15. And there was only one way I could make it home. And that was if I took the shortcut across the field that went across beside the YMCA in North Lynn. And I remember, because I was frightened of the dark, and it was a big issue to me, I used to walk down the street and talk to myself, so if anyone was watching, they thought there was two of me. It was horrendous. So within me was this stirring. What am I going to do? Am I going to please my mum? Am I going to be faithful to what I said, or am I going to be late? And I wanted to be faithful to my mum, so I decided to cross this field. And I started to walk, and I was fine, until I looked back. And I looked behind me, and whatever it was I saw, it frightened me. I started to look back, and terror came upon me. I started to walk faster and faster and faster. I couldn't see in front of me because my eyes hadn't focused in the dark yet. And as I started to go faster and faster, I started to run. And then I'm about this big, and the weeds are about this big. So there's a pathway, and I'm going through the middle of it. And all of a sudden, I ran straight into a man walking his dog. Well, I fell to the floor, and then I got home in 3 seconds flat. Do not look back, because when we do, it's only going to bring terror. Sometimes, you know, we look back at the what ifs. You know, my life has been blighted by looking backwards, by always seeing my mistakes, my weaknesses, my what ifs. What if I'd have been this? What if I'd have been taller? What if I'd have been smarter? What if this? What if my dad hadn't died when I was 11? What if my mum had said this? What if I'd have had what ifs? So often, our future is cut short because of our past. And we need to choose some things today. We need to choose to look forward and not to look backwards. We can't change the past. It's in the past. But we can change the future. But the scary thing is this. It's a choice. We have to choose it. It's easy to say, I can't, I can't, I can't. But you need to choose. The same as I had a choice. I either took the bull by the horns and tried to conquer my fear by walking through the darkness, or I was going to let down one of the most precious people in my life. And I chose to go forward, even though it frightened me. And friends, there may be some things in your past that you have bad dreams about. Choose today to settle those issues, to step into the stream of what God has for you. Don't be grumblers like the Israelites. Look forward to the promises that you have been given. If you are a child of God, you have been given promises. Let's choose to look forward. When we look forward, we'll be able to receive the promises that are ours, the promises that have been given to us. Secondly, let's not listen to fear. Because that's what happened to me on the beginning of that journey. I listened to fear. And because I listened to fear, terror came upon me. So often, there's only a small amount of darkness in our lives. But when fear takes over, it becomes big. It becomes magnified. It becomes out of proportion. And the Israelites became fearful. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. So minute, so small. They hadn't laid hold of the promises of God. They hadn't laid hold of the fact that, you know, Moses said, go and spy the land that God has given us. You know, God has given you and he has given me a promise. But we need to be a people that will lay hold of that promise. So let's do something about fear. Fear says, people in this land are too big. They're too big for me, so I can't, so I won't. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Fear says, I am so small, I am like a grasshopper. Faith says, my God is so big, I can't climb over him, I can't get around him, and I can't dig under him. And because he is in me and I am in him, I am a giant. You are a giant. You know, David said, David was a small chap in stature. He was just a shepherd boy. People used to see him as the runt of the litter, to be honest. He was just the boy. And those that know the story of David and Goliath, it goes, the part that I'm going to share goes like this. You know, the armies are lined up on the battlefield. You've got the Philistines on one side and the Israelites on the other side. And God is with the Israelites. So why are they afraid? But they are. Because instead of the two armies coming together and fighting it out, they say, look, you choose a champion. And we'll choose a champion. They come together and whoever wins will be the slave. The other will be the slave of that people. And they chose Goliath, who was a giant of a man. And though Israel had had God walking with them, they'd seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. The same as the same Israel that we're speaking about here in Numbers. They'd seen the hand of God, yet they were afraid. Up comes this young boy to bring provisions for his brothers and see what's happening with the war. And he says, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, this is man Goliath. He's huge. And, you know, someone's got to go and fight him." And he says, "Who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is, coming against the armies of the living God?" David had a different spirit. He had a spirit of faith, not a spirit of fear. The spirit of fear would say, "This man is too big." The spirit of faith says, "This man is so big, I cannot miss." You know, it's the way we view things. David had a different spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. Moses had a different spirit. You have been given a different spirit. Maybe it's not come to its fullness yet, but you have been given a different spirit. But sometimes fear will come in to rob us. Fear says, "I will never enter into God's promises." Fear says, "I will never enter into God's promises." Faith says, "The promises of God are yes and amen. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. He promises that when we honor our mother and our father, we will have a long life. God's promise is that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will receive salvation and enter into the fullness of what that means. Faith. Faith is what we need to enter into the fullness of what that means. Caleb had a different spirit. He had a spirit of faith. He followed God wholeheartedly. Not half measures. He followed God wholeheartedly. You know, in Numbers 11, 10 to 15, and I won't read it, I'll just outline the story for you. Moses is before the people and they start to grumble because they have no meat to eat. And Moses cries out to God and he says, "Lord, how long will I have to put up with these people? How long will I have to listen to their grumbles? How can I give all these people meat to eat? Why have you called me to carry these people like an infant into the promised land? Lord, the burden is too heavy for me to carry. Give me people to help." And when I read that, something within my heart leaped, because it answered some questions about my own ministry. It answered some questions about the calling that God has called me to. And to share an illustration, a picture, if you imagine like the fire service, if somebody's going to jump off of a building, they have a big round piece of canvas and there's many handles on it. And the handles are taken hold of by men so that there's an equal proportion to the strain. And if somebody jumps into it, they can actually take that strain of that person. If you take the analogy one step further, if they want to carry something, then if it's equally proportioned round that circle, if there's many hands carrying, then the person on the top won't fall off. But if there's four corners and only three people, then the chances are someone's going to slip out of the corner. When you take the picture of the man who was crippled and his friends led him to Jesus, they carried him on a mat. There was four of them, one for each corner. Because if there had been three of them, then they wouldn't have been able to carry the burden. And for Moses, the burden was too heavy. And the challenge that I want to put to us as a church, and I want to, before you answer the challenge, I want you to listen to what I have to say next week. And then make your mind up. Because I want us to be carriers of the promise, carriers of the vision. Let's have an excellent spirit. Let's have an excellent spirit. I was sharing with a friend of mine today that I used to struggle with that word excellent, because I thought excellent meant exclusive, but it doesn't. It means whatever we do, let's do it unto the Lord, wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. You know, that's why I was saying to these guys earlier, when you're finished with your bags and your bits and pieces, put them outside. You know, this isn't our building, but when we walk in, I want to make this building here a home. Make the house a home. Let's be carriers of the vision. Let's have an excellent spirit. you know, let's be carriers. And next week I'll explain what it is to be a carrier. So before you say, I want to be a carrier with you, just read about Moses. Read about what it was to be a carrier of the vision. Read about how there's a reflection of how you walk. There's a reflection of how you act. That you have to look at the bigger picture. Moses had an excellent spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. He had a spirit of faith. Let's be a people of faith. Let's be a people of promise. Let's be carriers of the vision. Let's have an excellent spirit. A spirit of purpose, a spirit of promise, a spirit of power, a spirit of restoration, a spirit of reconciliation, a spirit that will build up, a spirit that will hold up. And when I wrote this down, hold up, there's two scriptures that have really impacted my life. And the purpose of the calling upon me. The first one is Isaiah 61. It talks about coming alongside the brokenhearted. It talks about healing the sick. It talks about the widows. It talks about the orphans. It talks about the whole ministry of Christ. And that's what each one of us are called to. But that's what God impacted me with. And the second scripture was just as powerful. And that's in Exodus 17:12. And the picture is this. Moses chose Joshua to go and fight the Amalekites. And Moses then went up onto the mountain. And he went up onto the mountain. And he took with him two people. One was Aaron. And one was Hur. And the Lord said to him, Moses, as long as your arms are raised, the battle is yours. And I think that picture is still true for us today. As long as our arms are raised, because when we raise our arms, it's a symbol of worship. It's a symbol of adoration. It's a symbol of, Lord, fill me anew. When our arms are raised, the battle is ours. But friends, there's times in our lives that we grow weary. And I guess there's times in your lives that you grow weary. There's been times in my life that I've grown weary. And the reason this scripture has impacted me because of this is that what happened? He got tired. And because he got tired, Aaron took hold of one hand. And Hur took hold of the other. They sat Moses on the stone and they lifted his arms up and kept them steady until the battle was won. Friends, I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a church, part of a body where we'll come alongside each other. Where when we see that we're going through battles, that we will hold each other's arms up. You know, I say this with tongue in cheek, but with truth. You could look at it like this. You can have Andrew holding one hand up and Hur holding the other. That's supposed to be funny. You're supposed to laugh at that. I thought that was quite good. But the truth is this. You know, I want us to be part of a church that will acknowledge that when we're going through battles, there's going to be times that we're going to be weary. Don't run. Don't allow fear to take over. Allow the spirit of excellence, the spirit of faith to dwell within you. And allow others to come alongside you for that season. Because that's all it is. It's a season. I know that there's men and women and children here in our church that can say because of the season that they were in, they had others holding their hands up, they could walk forward. So let's not be afraid to ask. Let's not be afraid to say, Lord, I need an Aaron. I need a Hur to come alongside me in this time so that I can walk forward into the plans and purposes, into the promises which are yes and amen, that I can lay hold of the fullness of what you've given me, the land that flows with milk and honey, which means the land of abundance, that I can receive salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing, the wholeness of what salvation means, not just prosperous in finances, but prosperous in our health, prosperous in every part of our well-being. I'll finish because I said I would finish on time. I have 2 minutes. Let's be a people who will choose to receive. Let's be a people who will choose to go forward, not back. Let's be a people who will choose faith over fear. Let's be a people who will choose to carry and to lift up. Let's be a people who will receive the fullness of what God has for us through Christ Jesus. Let's be a people who has a different spirit, a spirit of faith, a spirit that will serve God wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. This is my challenge at the end of this. Friends, brothers, sisters, will you be a carrier of the vision with me? Don't answer it today. Answer it next week. Will you be a carrier of the vision? I'd encourage you to read Exodus and to read Numbers and look for yourself to see what it is to be a carrier. Because when you carry something, it will affect the way you walk. When you're a carrier, you will see the bigger picture. When you're a carrier, you won't walk past the litter on the floor. You'll pick it up. When you're a carrier, you won't say, somebody should be making coffee, they're not here yet. You'll just get on and do it. When you're a carrier, you'll see things differently. Let's be carriers. Let's be people of purpose, people of promise, people of faith. You know, these are not just dead words. I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness to us in Grace Community Church. God is doing something. We are part of a new thing. We're going to walk forward in purpose and in promise. And friends, we are going to go as one body. We're going to walk slowly because I want all of us to get there. We're going to walk slowly because in this room are already the ministries that God wants to flourish through. So I'm going to stop right there, dead on time, because I want us to be a church of excellence. I don't want us to take advantage. We want to start on time and we want to finish on time. And everything in the middle, we want to give God glory for. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you've given us promises. They are yes and amen. And Lord, may we never forget what church is all about. It's all about you. It's all about salvation. It's all about receiving Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. One of your promises is, Lord, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that you are Lord, we will receive that salvation. So friends, as every head is bowed, I just want us to take a moment. If you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about, friends, if you look at him from the outside, you'll never see him, because you need to see him from the inside. So if you want to make a step of faith, I'll be happy to pray with you afterwards. Not now, but afterwards. But as an indication that that's what you want to do, because it's all about Christ, then you raise your hand that I may see your hand and we'll pray afterwards. I won't dwell on this. If you want to receive Christ, put your hand up and we'll move on. Father God, we thank you that salvation is in the house. We thank you that your promises are yes and amen. And I pray, Lord, that for each one of us, we will not allow fear to rob us of our future. That we will not stand in the stagnant pool, but we will step into the river of life. That, Father God, as we join hands and we become one body, nothing will be withheld from us. We ask you to bless us that we may be a blessing. We ask you to give to us that we may give it away. We ask it in the name of Jesus, covered by his blood. Amen.